Our scripture reading this morning comes from Luke chapter 19. After he had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he had come near Bethpage and Bethany, at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of the disciples, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it.'" So those who were sent departed and found it as he told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" They said, "The Lord needs it." Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. As he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road, as he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives. The whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, order your disciples to stop." He answered, "I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out." This is the word of God for us, the people of God.
John. So when I was in first grade, my teacher, Miss Feather, I went the whole first service calling her Miss Feather, and I just realized before this, her name was actually Miss Fetter. I called her Miss Feather as a seven-year-old, but I remember we were working on a worksheet. She was walking throughout the class. It was a really quiet time. Everyone's quietly working, walking throughout the class with her arms behind her back, you know, making sure we were all working, checking in on us. And my buddy, as soon as she passed us, my buddy Jordan leans over to me, and he goes, "Hey, Colin, how do you throw a party on Mars?" And I'm like, "I don't know." You know, I whisper, "I don't know." And he goes, "You plan it." And let me just tell you, this joke landed with me. I immediately lost my mind as a first grader. Snot came running out of my nose. I was laughing so hard, I started to snort. He started to laugh in response to my laughter. It's the kind of laughter you have, you know, like when you're in church and you're not supposed to be laughing and you can't stop laughing, right? And Miss Feather, I'm just going to keep calling her that, God bless her, she turns her head and, like a Dementor from Harry Potter, charges at us, right? Senses the fun, sniffs out the fun, charges at us, and shushes us. And I got to be honest with you, I'm still recovering from that. A lot of y'all know me. I deserve to be shushed. A lot, right? I like to talk. She shushed us, and it rocked me to my core. It was the first time that I can remember really being aggressively shushed, right? And in defense of Miss Fetter, let's call her by her real name. In defense of Miss Fetter, God bless her. She's a teacher. I was a terrible student, always cutting up, always making jokes with my friends, right? And she had a hard job, right? She is trying to keep control of the classroom so that we can learn, right? So that we can grow, so that we can do the worksheet and progress as students, right? Which seems really important for seven-year-olds. And so even looking back and telling the story, I'm on her side. I am pro Miss Fetter, right? We deserved to be shushed in the midst of this. And our story this morning, there is a party going on, right? The Pharisees try and shush Jesus and his disciples. It's a triumphal entry. It's Palm Sunday. It's the onset of Holy Week for us in the life of the church. Jesus rolls into Jerusalem on a donkey, right? And this crowd of his disciples goes wild. They burst out in song and in praise. They're spreading their coats on the road to make a makeshift red carpet. There's cheering and shouting. It is a lot of fun. It is a straight up party. And at the end of it, the Pharisees shush them. They try and shush them. Some of the Pharisees, verse 39, in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, order your disciples to stop. Get your crowd under control. Get your people under control. It's worksheet time. Be quiet." Right? The Pharisees want decorum in this moment. They want to keep the peace. They want to control what is happening in this moment. They want to control Jesus. Debbie Thomas writes of the Pharisees that all throughout the Gospel of Luke, they are worried. All throughout the Gospel of Luke, the Pharisees have been worried. They worry about who is clean and who is unclean, who belongs at the table, who does what on the Sabbath, who has power and who does not. And they come off like hall monitors, right? That's the vibe. We read the Pharisees as one-dimensional, as hall monitors of Jesus. But they were actually pretty good teachers. And they were good Jews that cared about this stuff. They disagreed with Jesus on things, right? But I think that ultimately, like Miss Fetter, they are trying to help Jesus. I wonder if they are trying to help Jesus in this moment, right? They are worried about what is going to happen if those in power overhear this rollicky crowd as Jesus enters. How will the Roman government respond to anyone who has a large chaotic crowd following them who isn't king, right? What will it look like if someone who isn't king enters a city as a king? So they try and stop what's happening. I was at a comedy show a couple years ago. Nate Bargatze, any fans of Nate Bargatze? He's great. He's a clean comic. Take the whole family. He's awesome. We were at DPAC with some friends, and there was a heckler in the crowd. This is a true story. Not that far from us. And she was having a lot of fun. She was having a good night, right? And she was letting it rip. And all of the quiet parts of the show, she was screaming back at Nate Bargatze. And like, I felt, me and my friends, my wife, we felt that like, shut up, please be quiet. Like, we felt that temptation to want to shush her, right? To say, hey, this isn't about you. This isn't about you right now. This guy worked really hard on this thing. Be quiet. Now, Nate ended up handling it. And he handled it beautifully, right? And she quieted down. She wasn't ejected. She was able to watch the rest of the show. But I felt that temptation welling up inside me to shush someone else, even though I hate being shushed. Have you ever had that, right? Where someone's having a little too much fun, there's a little too much of a party going on around you, and maybe you're like, well, I don't know what they're doing over there, but, you know, I clearly wasn't invited, so I should shut it down, right? Like, you feel a little bummed about it, right? We like when things are orderly around us and in control around us, right? We like things to be quiet and neat, and if we're being honest, I'll take y'all out of it, all right? I'll spare y'all. If I am being honest, maybe there's something Pharisaic inside of me too when it comes to Jesus. There are moments when I want to quiet Jesus down. When I'm like, dude, you're losing them, right? There are moments, if I'm honest, where Jesus is frankly just annoying, where he's just bothersome to me. Right? Where Jesus says things that are so counter to the way in which we are naturally inclined to behave and act. You know, things like turn the other cheek. You ever been cut off in traffic? You feel like turning the other cheek right then? Right? My wife, God love her, she knew, you knew what was coming. The nicest person in the world would give you the coat off her back. She is a different person when she drives. All right? When she drives, she's the Pharisee, right? Everyone's obeying the traffic laws with Brittany. I mean, we'll be in the car, and she'll be like, what's this guy doing in front of us? What's this guy? Who does he think he is? She, like, turns into a New Yorker all of a sudden. It's wild to see. I love getting to see it. A lot of what Jesus says is really annoying, right? Turning away from the temptation of power. Turning away from the temptation to be spectacular. turning away from all these temptations that we've been naming in this series as Jesus is in the wilderness with the devil. All these things the devil is dangling in front of Jesus, and Jesus is moving away from them. That's tough. It's been tough. And I'll be honest with you, there's a lot of conversation that's come from our young adults in this series as we've been having discussion of like turning away from security and also how do I fully fund my 401k? It's tough. These are tough conversations to have, right? Turning away from these things that Jesus is turning away from in the wilderness. But there's nothing hushed about Jesus's entry on Palm Sunday. It's loud and it's rollicky and it's chaotic, it's triumphal, and it's fit for a king, but a different type of king and a different type of kingdom. Kings entered on stallions when they were coming for war, right? But they entered on donkeys when they were coming in the name of peace as a sign of, I am not threatening you. Right, historically, palm branches, though palm branches are not named in our gospel reading this morning, they're named in all the other gospels. It's a big part of this moment. Palm branches were like victory banners for the nation of Israel. They were like national flags, and it says like ancient national flags. During the Maccabean Revolt, this is 150 years before this moment, Jews were using palm branches as marks of celebration over oppressors, which could in this moment look like Rome, right? By waving palms, the people were making a bold political and spiritual statement that could be interpreted as anti-Rome. We believe, they are saying, that Jesus is the one who will save us, the Messiah, right? Blessed is the King who comes in God's name, in the name of God, not in the name of Caesar Augustus, not in the name of Tiberius, not in the name of Pontius Pilate, but blessed is Jesus the King who comes in the name of God. And Jesus, so the Pharisees tell him, like, dude, tread lightly. Like, be quiet. It's worksheet time. And Jesus responds to them in verse 40. If these were silent, if my disciples were silent, even the stones would cry out. You can't contain it. You can't slow it down. The wheels are already in motion. Everyone is with me on this. And even if they weren't, even if they were silent, the very earth would shout out. Even the stones would shout out. You can shush all you want, but the movement is continuing. Jesus has now, we talked about Jesus on the Mount of Olives, right? He's back on the Mount of Olives this week. We talked about Jesus last week on the Mount of Olives, this moment of prayer. Father, if it is in your will, take this cup from me. We're past that now, right? He's had the temptation to turn away from it. He has asked Jesus to bail on this thing. If it is in your will, take this cup from me. It's not. He stands up and he sets his face like flint on Jerusalem, right? This thing is happening. It's as good as done. And you can't stop it. You can't quiet it down. And not only are the disciples shouting and encouraging Jesus, they're walking with Jesus, right? They have a lot of action in this story as they journey with Jesus. They go and get this colt, this donkey who's never been ridden. They throw coats on the donkey to make a makeshift saddle for Jesus. They throw coats on the road to roll out the red carpet for Jesus. And it all builds into verse 37. Right at the crest, back at the Mount of Olives, where it begins to descend, right? Where we begin to descend into Holy Week, the whole crowd of disciples bursts into enthusiastic praise over all the mighty works that they had witnessed. How could they not keep silent? Right? How could they not walk with Jesus into Jerusalem? They have seen Jesus do too much. They've seen his power, his miracles, his teachings, His healings, his feedings, they've been a part of it. Right? All of which has turned them away from the ways of the world. A world that doesn't teach peace, but violence. A world that doesn't heal, but breaks. A world that doesn't feed, but leaves us hungry. A world that doesn't love, but hates. Jesus has done so much in the wilderness of the world that the disciples have witnessed, and yet there is still much for him to do. Jesus turns towards Jerusalem, towards the cross on the horizon, and towards the grave. The disciples don't know it yet, but in this moment, they need the triumphal entry. Right? We need this moment of cheer and praise and joy because things are about to get dark. It is about to get dark for Jesus. He is about to go through it. What's the first thing he does after this celebration, right? The descent takes off immediately. He comes into the city. Before he even flips the tables, he weeps. He weeps over the city as it comes into view. Barbara Brown Taylor writes that new life starts in the dark. Whether it's a seed in the ground, a baby in the womb, or a Jesus in the tomb, it starts in the dark. And the darkness is coming. There will be a hushing this week. Jesus is going to go silent. His disciples are going to go eerily silent. I think the invitation for us this morning is to cheer Jesus on Palm Sunday, to walk with Jesus this Holy Week in the triumph of this moment, to wave palm branches like children, right, with joy and with celebration and praise and even laughter, as if it's the best joke you've ever heard. We have seen what Jesus is capable of. And as we journey into Holy Week this week, may we have hope, may we have faith that Jesus is capable of so much more. Amen.